raised with Randy Livermore. He'd keep that boy in mind if he ever needed a business partner. Livermore had been fast, complete, and discreet. Winters now had a list, complete with addresses and phone numbers, of women who'd gone through Hanover House 7 years ago, and who were, according to the Department of Motor Vehicles, less than 5'5". By Monday, he'd have FedExed pictures to go with the names. Randy was certainly thorough. For now, Winters would hunt blind, scanning names, highlighting in yellow any variation on Mary or Grace. There were dozens. Mary Ann, Mary Beth, Mary Frances. Winters stopped. A single name jumped off the page. Surely Mary Grace wouldn't. Maybe she didn't realize it. Maybe it was one of those Freudian things. Most likely she was just stupid, like he'd known all along. Winters ran his marker over the name and looked at it another minute more. Mary Grace never set foot outside North Carolina for the first 23 years of her life. It was possible. Caroline Stewart. It was possible. He took out his map of Chicago. Miss Caroline Stewart didn't live too far away. Winters lit up a cigarette and took a deep drag, feeling his pulse leap as he closed in on his prey. Robbie could be just a short ride away. Winters would know by bedtime. And who knew? Maybe bedtime would take on a more intimate setting for the first time in 7 years. He looked at the highlighted name once more. Yeah, it was possible. Chicago, Friday, March 16th, 6:30 p.m. Caroline opened the door before Max even knocked. Tom's acceptance seemed to lift a weight from her shoulders, and she looked forward to this evening more than any other so far.
Hi,
she said, knowing she sounded inane and that her smile was too big and not caring a bit. Max smiled back. How yourself? He stepped in the apartment and stumbled when an orange cat ran under his cane, but caught himself before he fell. Whoa, your visitor is back.
Mrs. Pulaski and her sister left for Daytona this morning. I'm the only person in the building that'll feed him.
She shooed the cat into the kitchen and poured dry cat food in a dish. Max mentally thanked old Bubble Boy when he came into the kitchen to find Caroline's rear in prominent view, bending over to feed the cat. She'd changed into a pair of jeans that fit her like a glove, making his mouth water and his fingers itch to grab. He shoved his hands in his pockets. Mrs. Pulaski went to Daytona. What for? Caroline looked up, her blue eyes laughing.
It's Harley weekend.
Max's lip twitched. Don't tell me those old ladies ride Harleys.
They do. It's true,
she insisted.
I've seen them myself. They didn't start until after they were 55. Mrs. Pulaski says they do it to stay young, but her sister says it's to pick up men.
Max snorted. I believe the sister. Caroline grinned.
Me too.
She stood up, wiped her palms on her jeans.
I'm ready.
He looked her up and down, hoping his full admiration showed in his face. You look beautiful. 3, 2, 1. Her cheeks bloomed pink.
Thank you.
Max dropped a quick kiss on her lips. Simple acceptance of his praise. They continued to make progress. You're welcome, and I'm starving. Call Tom and we'll all go to my house. Caroline slipped her purse on her shoulder.
He's not here. Remember, he's gone on that camping trip. He won't be home till Wednesday or Thursday.
Max felt every muscle in his body pull taut. What? The word sounded much harsher than he'd intended, but he couldn't have controlled his voice that moment had his life depended on it. She looked over her shoulder, surprise on her face.
He's gone camping with his friends.
Her brows crinkled uneasily.
What's wrong, Max?
He tried to still his shaking hands as he reached out to caress the curve of her jaw. We're alone, then, he said quietly. Really alone. Understanding lit her eyes, and with it a charming shyness.
I suppose so.
He tilted up her face and took possession of her lips, his kiss long and earthy and full of the promise of what the night held in store.
Oh, my,
she whispered. He softly touched her lower lip, now puffed and pouty. Oh, my, he teased, wringing a shy smile from her trembling lips. Don't forget to put out the cat. She stood there, looking deep into his eyes as if making a decision of monumental importance.
I'd better put his dish outside,
she murmured,
in case I get home late and he gets hungry.
Max opened the door for her, or early, as the case might be. Then we're off. When they reached the bottom of the stairs, Cy Edelman was in his usual place, sitting on the step. He gave Max a curious glance before greeting Caroline with a smile. Good night, Caroline.
Good night, Mr. Edelman,
she returned with a smile of her own. The old man caught Max's eye. Have a good time. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Caroline laughed.
What wouldn't you do, Cy?
Mr. Edelman chuckled. Not a whole hell of a lot. Caroline patted his balding head.
You're a bad old man, Cy.
I know. Keeps me young. The door closed behind them, and the two walked out to a silver Mercedes parked on the curb. Winters frowned, keeping well into the shadows behind the stairwell. He'd slipped in the back of the apartment house through a utility door and had been waiting for the old man to leave so he could get up to apartment 3A. Instead, the woman in 3A had come out on her own, hand in hand with an extraordinarily tall man, taller than he himself. But lame, a gimp with a cane. The woman was Mary Grace. He was sure of it. A little older, hair dyed brown, and no limp. Winters clenched his jaw. She'd deceived him. She wasn't crippled at all. That's why they'd found her walker in the car. She hadn't really needed it. She'd never been lame. A slow rage began to burn. She'd lied to him. Every nurse and doctor in the hospital had lied to him. They all pretended she was hurt. Poor, poor little Mary Grace. She'd been normal the whole time. She'd lied. And she'd stolen his son. The tall man with the cane opened the car door for her, and she got in, laughing at something he said. She had a sugar daddy. Mary Grace was kept. A whore. No better than that slut Angie. The rage burned higher. His hands clenched into fists. Mary Grace and that man were probably going off to do it right now. When he got through with her, she'd rue the day she'd laid eyes on that man. When he was done, she'd rue the day she'd ever been born. With an effort, Winters brought his rage under control and his consideration back to the matter at hand. Robbie, his son, was upstairs in apartment 3A, alone, right now. He slipped out the utility door and made his way back to his rental car he'd left parked in an alleyway, opened the trunk, and found the coveralls he had stored there. People ignored a man in coveralls. The old man on the front step would assume he was the television repairman. A small toolbox and a nondescript brown wig completed his ensemble. He entered again through the front door and nodded to the old man. A little late for a house call, isn't it? The old man asked, looking up at him. Winters regarded him from behind lowered eyelids. I'm running behind. This is my last service call today. The old man squinted up at him.
What company are you with, young man?
Winters bit down on his temper. Meddling old fart. He thought fast. 3A contractors. He nodded briefly to the old man and made his way up the steps, ignoring the way the old fart turned to look over his shoulder with a frown. Winters jimmied Mary Grace's door lock with surprising ease. Trusting little soul she'd become. That would soon change. His heart pounding in anticipation, he pushed the door open and looked inside. It was quiet, like a tomb. Disappointment crashed around his ears. Robbie wasn't here. But he had been. Slowly, Winters crossed the small living room, his eyes locked on a group of pictures arranged on a little wood shelf. Robbie, his son. Winters picked up the picture closest to the end of the shelf. His son had grown into a man. Tall, blonde, athletic good looks. Robbie was a handsome young man. Pride swelled even as his heart grieved for the lost years. He picked up a second picture. Robbie in a basketball uniform, the ball nonchalantly held under his arm. His son played basketball. Winters scowled. It should have been football. It was always supposed to have been football. Like me. But it wasn't so. Still, pride swelled. His son was MVP once. Twice. Three times. He counted the trophies. He took a step closer and quickly quelled the roar that threatened to erupt. Tom Stewart. He read aloud, his voice now icy. She'd changed her name and his son's, denied his son his heritage, even his own name. "She'll pay for that," he muttered. Carefully, he set the trophy back in its spot, ensuring the thin layer of dust on the shelf went undisturbed. He wanted one of those pictures of his son for himself. He picked one up from the back row on the shelf, one that had obviously been sitting for quite a while. A 10-year-old boy looked up at him, smileless and sober. Robbie was obviously unhappy living here without him. He could see it in his son's eyes. The dust that lay across the top of the picture frame in a thicker layer than on the rest of the shelf told him two things. First, Mary Grace had become a lousy housekeeper. Second, she apparently had not picked this picture up in a long time. She wouldn't miss just one. He slipped it into his pocket as if it were pure gold. Cautiously, he made his way to the back of her apartment and opened a door. A bathroom. Shampoo bottles littered the edges of the tub. Pigsty. He frowned at the razor on the sink. Robbie was shaving already. Who'd taught him to shave? That tall guy with the limp? One of Mary Grace's other men? He felt anger rise again. He'd missed so many of the little things while some stranger, some sugar daddy to his whore wife, got to see his son grow up. He closed the bathroom door to the same way he'd found it, then opened the door to Robbie's bedroom. Plain blankets covered the twin bed. Posters of Michael Jordan covered the walls. A computer sat in one corner, school books stacked on the desk. Winters opened the closet, taken in the single dark suit and shiny black shoes. Big shoes. His boy was almost grown. A photo was stuck in the upper corner of an old mirror. An old man held Robbie on his lap while Robbie held a balloon and wore an enormous grin, showing off missing teeth. The picture hadn't been taken long after Mary Grace stole him away. He yanked the picture from the mirror and turned it over, read the words written in Mary Grace's even hand. Eli and Tom at the circus. Winters gritted his teeth. A stranger had taken his boy to the circus? He'd never gotten the chance. His eye roved over the top of a chest of drawers, more trophies cluttering the top. An inch of dust covered the furniture. Mary Grace was a lousy housekeeper, he thought again. He'd have to ensure her improvement. He'd turned to his door when his eye caught a glint of silver on the bed. It was a small trophy lying on the pillow, clearly out of place. Winters picked it up with an angry jerk and put it back on the chest of drawers where it belonged. The boy had developed some bad habits. There would be some work to be done when they were together again. The door to Robbie's room was closed with as much care as the bathroom door. Winters wasn't ready to let them know he was around. But soon they'd know. Soon. Winters opened the door to Mary Grace's bedroom and stopped dead in the doorway. His heart jolted in his chest as if he'd seen a ghost. There it was. There was that damn statue again, next to her bed. With a fierce frown, he crossed the floor to her nightstand and picked it up. It wasn't the same statue, he realized as he inspected it. It was a man this time. Still Catholic, though. He turned it over. St. Joseph, read a little engraved brass plaque glued to its base. Not the same Catholic saint at all, but its meaning to Mary Grace would be completely the same. The anger he'd felt at standing in the Sevier County Police Garage when he'd realized she'd kept that damned cracked St. Rita for 2 years before she'd run away came back. It no longer simmered. His anger was now very cold. Anger was better cold, he knew. It made him even smarter, even more able to plot what was quickly becoming a very sweet revenge. The statue meant independence to Mary Grace. It meant escape from him. It meant cutting him off from his son. Winters hefted it, tossing it from one hand to the other. It was made from the same pottery as the other statue, likely as breakable. He let the statue drop to the floor, but the carpet broke its fall. Intact, the clay saint lay on the floor, looking up at him reverently, its hands still folded in pious prayer. God damn it, the thing wouldn't break. With one hand, Winters picked up the statue and knocked it against the corner of her nightstand. With a shattering crash, the new idol lay in pieces on the floor. Good enough, he thought savagely. Let her wonder and worry about how it got broken. Let her be afraid. Let her be very afraid. He left her bedroom door wide open and made his way down the narrow hallway towards the front door, not caring anymore if she suspected anything or not. He'd put his hand on the doorknob when a little knock came from the other side.
Caroline?
The voice called. A girl's voice.
Caroline, I need to talk to you.
Winters silently swore. Visitors. Between this girl, the gimp, and the old man, Mary Grace's apartment was like Grand Central Station.
Caroline, please open up.
The girl's voice was pleading.
I want to apologize.
She paused, then knocked again.
I'll stay here until you open the door. I have Bubba here. He's hungry, Caro.
Winters rolled his eyes. Terrific. A nosy old man on the steps and a whining girl out in the hall. He checked the peephole. Better still, a whiny skinny girl holding an ugly orange cat. He hated cats. He also couldn't stay here all night. Mary Grace would eventually come home with the sugar daddy, and Winters didn't want to be in her apartment when she did. Nor did he want that old man knowing he'd been in the apartment for too long and becoming suspicious. The last thing Winters needed was a confrontation with the Chicago PD. Damn it, anyway. He jerked open the door, taking perverse pleasure in the way the girl shrieked at the sight of him. The big orange cat she'd been holding in her arms leaped to the ground and slunk past Winters' legs into the apartment, disappearing behind the sofa.
She's not here right now.
The girl shook her head, eyes wider than a deer caught in his headlights, one thin hand splayed against her heart.
Who are you?
She gasped. Winters put on his most charming smile. She actually wasn't bad-looking, rangy, coltish.
I work for the building. The tenant just called about a leaky faucet, so I was just checking it out.
Her breath sighed out in relief.
Oh, you scared me.
The girl peered inside.
You sure she's not here?
Not unless she's hiding under the sink, Winters smiled. Why do you want to see her?
Any friend of Mary Grace's would have useful information, like where the hell he might find his son. The girl heaved a giant sigh.
Never mind. You wouldn't be interested in my problems.
Winters leaned against the door jamb. You'd be surprised what I'd be interested in, he said, keeping his friendliest, most supportive smile firmly in place. You look like you've had a hard day. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? The girl looked around, bit her lip, seemed to consider, then finally nodded.
I think that's probably the best offer I've had today. My name's Evie Wilson.
She stuck out her hand. Winters shook it. I'm Mike Flanders. It's nice to meet you, Evie. Chapter 16. Chicago, Friday, March 16th, 8:30 p.m. You never told me why you chose to go into law. Caroline looked up from her dinner, startled. Max's question had come out of the blue after a distinct lull in their conversation, during which he'd stared at her as if trying to see straight through her skin, or devour her for dessert. She wasn't sure which notion she found more unsettling. Carefully, she blotted her mouth with her napkin and shrugged.
You'll think I'm hopelessly naive.
Max reached across the table and covered her hand with his. Then I'd be hopelessly cynical. She looked up at him, her smile wry.
You are.
Max grinned. But I never felt so gosh darned happy about being cynical before. Caroline chuckled.
Dana always says I'm the Pollyanna type.
Max's fingers tightened around her hand. I hope not, he murmured. She pressed the fingertips of her free hand to her cheek, feeling the rush of heat. Mercy. The man could melt her into a puddle of goo with just his voice. He raised their joined hands to his lips and kissed each one of her fingertips. It was barely a kiss, yet so carnal it rocked her to her toes. Caroline. There was rich laughter in his voice. Are you going to tell me about law school? Caroline blinked, and his face came back into focus. He was smiling the smile of a man who knew he'd achieved his goal, and somehow that turned her on even more.
Law school,
she repeated, taking a rather large sip of wine. He'd picked it to go with the pasta she'd prepared, dismissing her embarrassment about not knowing which wine to choose to go with specific meals, and taking the opportunity to teach her. She frowned, just a little. Somehow, the teaching had resulted in extensive sampling. She'd never had so much wine in her life. Why are you frowning? He asked, tracing the seam of her downturned lips with one finger. Caroline looked up, accusation her mission.
You've gotten me tipsy.
Max threw back his head and laughed, reminding her of the way her son had looked doing the same thing earlier in the day. How much of the warmth that filled her was from the wine, and how much was from knowing she pleased the two most important males in her life, she had no idea. Nor did she care. Playfully, she swatted him with her napkin and rose to put her dishes in the sink. From behind her, she heard his chair scrape the floor. One thump of his cane, and his arms were around her waist, pulling her close against him. I'm sorry, Caroline. Max kissed the top of her head. You just look so adorable when you're outraged. So, tell me about law school, he repeated. She relaxed back into him, loving the feel of his solid strength. She needed to tell him the truth. She'd chosen law school to aid abused women, because she herself had been one of those women. It was a perfect segue. One she'd use later, she thought, loath to spoil their playful mood. Later.
Well, it's the 3-year period when one studies the theory of law and the statutes, and...
Max groaned. So don't tell me. See if I care. He still held her, rocking them ever so slightly. He dipped his head, kissed her ear. But I do, you know, he murmured into her ear. A shudder racked her body from the outside in. She turned her face just enough to feel his lips graze her cheek,
Do what?
She whispered, her voice gone hoarse.
Care about you.
He feathered kisses along the line of her jaw. Her limbs grew heavy and she sagged against him. His arms tightened instantly to support her weight, then one hand glided up her body to gently cup her breast. Her reflexive intake of vital air only served to press her flesh more firmly into his palm. His reflexive response was to bring the other hand up to cover her other breast. He simply held her, allowing her to become accustomed to his possession of her body. For that's what it was. He possessed her heart, and now he was claiming her body. And she couldn't think of a single reason why it wasn't the right thing to do. Then his thumbs brushed against her nipples, and she couldn't think at all. Her pulse pounded like 1,000 drums, all sensation centering where he touched her, and where he didn't. She felt the liquid tug of desire woman low, and pressed back against him, seeking relief. He groaned in her ear, deep, wrenching, and absolutely wonderful. Her hands slid up her own body until they covered his, pressing his hands harder against her breasts, learning it didn't come close to relieving the pressure that had become an ache. Blindly, she turned her head, seeking his warm mouth, finding it. He devoured her with whole open-mouthed kisses that left her shaken and wanting. One of his hands left her breast to wind through her hair, tugging her mouth closer still. His tongue sought access, and to deny him such elemental contact was never even a consideration. She did her share, stroking, exploring the warm, wet interior of his mouth that tasted like the wine they'd shared, sweet and potent. She reached backwards, her hands clasping the back of his neck. She pulled herself higher against him, vaguely aware the whimpers of frustration were being torn from her own throat. He lifted his head, and her heart stopped. His eyes were dark with unhidden want, his mouth wet from hers. She could hear the beat of his heart in the stillness of the kitchen. Slowly, he turned her in his arms so that she was facing him. Fully facing him, and everything this moment represented.
Caroline, do you believe I love you?
He whispered, his voice raspy and unfamiliar. She looked in her heart and found no doubts lurking.
Yes.
Do you trust me?
She looked in her heart once more, and again found no doubts lurking.
Yes.
She didn't hear the word come from her throat, but he was evidently quite satisfied with her answer.
Come with me, then.
He framed her face with both hands, lightly caressing her cheeks with his thumbs. He kissed her, slow and sweet, eyelids, cheekbones, corners of her eyes, everywhere but her lips. Yet when he lifted his head, she was trembling.
I want to take you places.
He danced her around and backed her towards the archway separating his kitchen from his living room. Caroline swallowed, a sliver of fear insinuating itself in her mind.
Places?
He took her chin between his thumb and forefinger, gently forcing her to meet his eyes. His other hand firmly gripped his cane, and step by step they were swaying towards the darkened living room.
Wonderful places. You choose.
Me?
They were in the living room now, a few feet from the extra-long sofa that consumed the better part of the longest wall in the room. He smiled and brushed his lips against hers.
Yes. You.
They came to a stop when the backs of her legs came up against the sofa, and he sobered.
I promise we won't do anything you don't want to do. I promise I'll stop when you say. Somebody hurt you, Caroline. I can see it in your eyes every time I tell you I love you, or tell you you're beautiful. I promise you, you'll someday believe me, because I'd never lie to you. I just need one promise from you.
Eyes wide, tongue inoperable, Caroline could only nod. I want you to promise to remember who I am. Can you promise me that, Caroline?" Her eyes filled with sharp tears, and she blinked them away.
"Max."
"Promise me," he persisted, brushing the tears from her cheeks.
"I promise,"
she whispered. "I wanted to light a fire, have music, make it perfect for you," he murmured, stroking her face. Touched to the bottom of her soul, Caroline lifted her hands to his face. He turned to press his lips against one palm, then the other. She trailed her fingertips down the strong column of his neck and felt the thrill of pride when he shuddered. She had the power to make this powerful man shudder. It was discovery. She ran her fingers up into the crisp short hair at his nape and pulled his head down, kissing him with all the newfound confidence she possessed. Her reward was another one of his deep guttural groans that made her insides melt like butter on a hot day. He took control of the kiss, covering her mouth with his lips and her breast with his hand. Her eyelids slid shut and her knees gave way as he guided her down to the softness of the sofa. She heard his cane fall to the carpet. Her last coherent thought was that Max's sofa was larger than her bed. Then he was joining her, settling his body between her legs, sliding his hands beneath her head to cradle her face. "Look at me," he whispered. With difficulty, she forced her eyes to open. He was close, so close she could see each individual lash that framed his eyes. Eyes that stared at her with an intensity that made her heart start pounding all over again. "Tell me you love me, Caroline." She lifted her hand to his jaw, felt it clench beneath her fingertips.
"I love you, Max."
Another hard shudder racked his body, and he gritted his teeth, thrusting his pelvis against hers. The hard ridge of his erection nudged at the very place that yearned for him. She felt her hip surge to meet his halfway of their own accord. "Oh, God," he whispered hoarsely.
"What?"
Caroline kissed his chin, his lower lip, his jaw, his neck, anything she could reach with his weight pressing her down. He shuddered again. "I feel like I could come just by you lifting your hips." The shiver that raced down her spine to her core had her reflexively lifting to him once more. "Stop." It was a hissed warning. "I want to show you so many things, Caroline. I want to make you feel so incredible. Don't make me come too soon." His words were achieving more than his kisses. She had to get closer. She spread her legs wider, lifting her knees to bracket his hips. It was better. He was closer, but still not close enough. Layers of clothing still separated her from the hard part of him that made her body weep. She wriggled experimentally and gasped at the resulting pleasure. "Damn it, Caroline." Max pressed her into the sofa harder, immobilizing her seeking hips. He never finished the thought, his hands skimming under her sweater, finding the softness of her breasts. She arched her back, desperate for more, crying out when he gave it to her, pushing her sweater up, her bra down, and lowering his mouth to her nipple in a single heated movement. She cried out again, begging him with her body to take more of her into his mouth. He did, lashing her now sensitive nipple with his tongue. Her breasts had never, never been a source of pleasure. And now the pleasure was so intense she thought she might just die from it. Impatient, she grasped his jaws and pulled until he switched to the other breast, humming his approval. He lifted his head and stared at his handiwork, her nipples now erect and straining and wet. He lifted his eyes to hers. "You're beautiful," he said, his voice rough. "You're also wearing too damn many clothes." He took her sweater by the hem and in a single movement pulled it over her head, flinging it somewhere else. Her mind immediately raced to the scars on her neck, grateful for the darkness. She prayed they wouldn't show in the darkness. Then she forgot about her scars when his hands fumbled with the front clasp of her bra, his knuckles brushing her aching nipples until she whimpered. He lowered his head to nuzzle the underside of one breast, dragging a sigh from deep inside her. He lavished, kissing one breast then the other, teasing, lightly biting, never hurting, always pleasuring. He suckled, driving her higher and higher, until she was arching into his open mouth once again. Her hips writhed, surging up to close the distance between their bodies. She cried out, calling his name, begging him for more. Max lifted his head and moved his weight to his side. "Caroline, look at me." Eyes glazed, she looked into his beautiful face, and felt every muscle convulse when his hand cupped the juncture between her legs, his fingers restlessly moving against the fabric of her old blue jeans in a rhythm she instinctively understood. "Is this what you wanted?" he asked, his voice so rough it was almost unrecognizable. She nodded, catching her lip between her teeth. He dropped his lips to hers, kissing her hard. "Don't try to hide all those little cries from me, Caroline. They're mine." He kissed her again, clamping his fingers against her possessively. "I've laid in my bed dreaming of this, dreaming of you, dreaming of the sounds you'll make when I make love to you, of all the things you'll beg me for. Please, Caroline, I want to hear you ask me for all the things that make you scream."
"Max."
She lifted her hips, chasing the feel of his hands on her most private, protected parts. He kissed her mouth, her breasts, working her hard until every thrust of his hand brought her hips off the sofa. She wanted him inside her. It was wondrous, a miracle. She'd almost touched heaven itself. And then he stopped. Once again she dragged her eyes open. He was staring down at her, his jaw clenched. "I'm going to ask you this only once. I promised we'd stop whenever you said." Caroline reached for him, her hand molding against his erection through his slacks.
"Don't stop. Please."
He hissed an oath and rose to his knees, tugging his shirt free. She watched, awestruck, as the most beautiful chest she'd ever seen emerged from beneath that plain white shirt. Broad, thick, corded muscle covered with dense, thick, curly, dark hair. He struggled with the button at his cuff, then yanked until the button flew off. His shirt landed on the floor next to the sofa. Caroline sat up and ran her hands up and across the breadth of his chest, through the crisp hair, and his hands paused at the button of his slacks. His head dropped forward and his face tightened as he absorbed the feel of her hands on his body. He'd obviously been waiting for her to do just this very thing. It was new, incredible, that she could bring such pleasure to his face. She trailed her fingertips downward through the hair on his chest until it narrowed at his waist. She pushed his hands away and looked up to find his eyes open and staring at her with an intensity that shook her soul. Keeping her eyes on his face, she slid free the button at his waist and slowly slid the zipper down. His chest expanded with the deep breath he drew, and he waited. Caroline reached inside the elastic waistband of his boxer shorts and closed her hand around hot, throbbing flesh. The breath he'd been holding escaped in a rush. "Please don't ask me to stop now," he gritted as she lightly ran her fingers up and down his swollen length. "Please." In answer, she tugged at his slacks. "God." He pushed himself to his feet and dropped the slacks and boxers to the floor in a jingle of keys and change. He dropped to one knee and found the condom he'd slipped into his pocket. "Hold this," he muttered, thrusting the packet into her hand. Reality intruded. She stared at the packet, trying to control her panic. He expected her to put this on him. In all her life, she'd never used one. Then her concerns were doubled as he dragged her jeans and panties down her legs. The cool air against her hot body was a jolt. She was exposed, more exposed than she'd ever believed she'd be again. It was time. Through his painstaking preparation, she hadn't once remembered the pain of sex. Now she did. Now she did. "Caroline," She looked away, not able to meet his eyes now that the moment was so close.
"Look at me."
She did, then looked away again. He took the packet from her hand, and she heard the foil rip, felt the sofa give as he settled himself back between her thighs.
"Please, look at me."
She tried to meet his eyes. She couldn't. He nudged at her opening with what felt like an iron rod. She tensed. She couldn't help it.
"I want you. God, I want you so much."
He pressed forward, catching his breath.
"I love you, Caroline. I don't want to hurt you ever, but I want you so much I think I'll die if I stop."
He clenched his eyes shut.
"Do you want me to stop?"
She did, desperately. Yet she lifted a hand to his face, unwilling to deprive him. She'd survive it. She had before.
But this time would be different.
It would be worth it, however much it hurt. She loved him. It would make the difference. It would.
"Don't stop,"
she whispered, then prepared herself for the ripping intrusion. His shoulders shuddered as relief rippled through his body.
"I won't hurt you. I promise."
He guided himself in, pushing, pushing.
"I'm sorry," he whispered. "You're just so tight."
Her body tensed, involuntarily shrinking away from him.
"Remember your promise, Caroline,"
he begged, voice a mixture of hoarse and sweet pleading.
"Remember you promised to think of me, to know I love you. Relax, Caroline, please. Let me take you just one more place."
And as he soothed, he pushed until he was fully joined to her body. He was inside her.
And it didn't hurt. "Remember, I love you."
He began to rock, and her body began to feel the stirrings of pleasure he'd aroused so effortlessly before. She relaxed, her knees lifting to draw him deeper. His groan told her she'd done well. He reached between them, finding the exact spot that made her arch against him and moan. He surged and withdrew again and again, until she was climbing again, higher and higher. "Almost."
"Max."
She grabbed his shoulders and bit her lip, then let him hear her cry out when her body finally touched heaven in its magnificent splendor for the very first time. Groaning her name, he joined her, his powerful body jerking and shuddering as he found satisfaction deep within her body. He sank into her arms, and she held him, welcoming his weight, smoothing her hands across his damp back. If the pinnacle had been overwhelming, the aftermath was enough to sweep her under. She felt so whole, so right. Emotion rushed in on a wave, and she clutched him tighter, burying her face against the solidity of his shoulder. It wasn't until he heard her sniffle that his head lifted, his expression devastated.
"I hurt you. God, Caroline, I'm so sorry."
She shook her head, hoping she could someday make him understand.
"No, you didn't. It didn't hurt, Max."
For the first time, she knew what God had ordained. For the first time, she'd given her body freely. For the first time, there had been ultimate pleasure. For the first time, there had been no ripping, tearing pain. He was looking at her, trying to see inside her soul, even as his body remained nestled within hers.
"Who hurt you, Caroline?"
She could have told him then, but her body was still rippling from the sensations with which he'd gifted her. Allowing the memory of him to intrude seemed obscene.
"Not you,"
she whispered, pushing his hair from his forehead.
"Not you."
Chicago, Friday, March 16th, 10 p.m. It had taken 5 beers to loosen the girl up, the first one probably going to counteract the caffeine from the coffee he'd bought her first. Winters looked at her from across the tiny table in the overcrowded bar that conveniently forgot to card his very obvious minor. Now she was finally starting to show some effect of the beers he'd been pouring down her throat. "So, you ready to tell me what brought you to your friend's house tonight?" Evie rolled her eyes and plunked her chin down on her fist.
"It's too embarrassing."
"Oh, that's just silly. How bad could it have been?"
"Pretty bad," she answered glumly. "I caught my friend kissing a guy I thought..."
"You thought he was interested in you?"
"Yeah. Stupid, huh?"
"No, not at all," he returned smoothly. "So what was the guy's name?" She frowned and took another healthy swig of beer.
"Max."
She wiped her mouth with the back of her hand.
"Max Hunter. He's my boss at Carrington College. Or was, anyway."
Max Hunter. A name to put with the gimp's face. A name to focus on as he plotted his revenge on his cheating wife. He schooled his voice to be gently incredulous. "He'd fire you for catching him kissing your friend? That doesn't make sense."
"No, he'll fire me for slapping Caroline's face and saying I hated her."
"You did that?" She dropped her eyes to the tabletop.
"Yeah. I wished I hadn't the minute I did it, but I couldn't take it back. She looked so shocked that I'd hit her like that."
Mary Grace, shocked at a little slap? She'd become soft in 7 years. He'd fix that soon enough. "Why did you slap her?"
"I thought she'd stolen him away."
She shuddered.
"God, how humiliating."
"So, how long had it been going on, this thing between your friend and your boss?" Evie shrugged.
"Since he started, I guess. 2 weeks ago? Seems like longer."
2 weeks. The irony was not lost on Winters. "So if he was your boss, how did your friend know him?"
"Caroline is his secretary. I was going to get her job when she graduated. She's going to law school."
Winters had to fight to remember who he was supposed to be and not to allow his jaw to drop in shock. Mary Grace was graduating from college, going on to law school? It wasn't possible. "Maybe she's just using this guy to graduate," he offered, unable to think of any other way she could get her hands on a diploma. Evie shook her head.
"Oh, no. Caroline would never do that. She's way too smart to need to do that. In fact, the more I thought about it, Max is the first man Caroline's been involved with since I've known her."
"And how long have you known her?" Evie lifted one thin shoulder.
2 years. I met her in a runaway shelter. She was volunteering. I was running."
Her eyes filled with tears.
"She is one of the nicest people I've ever known. I can't believe I hit her. I hit her so hard she fell down. I can't believe the things I said to her. And she never even defended herself. She just sat on the floor looking at me."
Winters regarded the girl with a little more respect. She'd knocked Mary Grace's ass to the floor. Good enough. Maybe she knew it was true. Maybe she felt guilty.
"No, she didn't look at me like that. It was more like she was so disappointed in me."
She wiped the tears from her face.
"Tom says that's the worst, when she looks at him like that. He'd prefer it if she punished him than give him that look."
Tom Stewart, the name on Robbie's trophies. "Who's Tom?"
"Caroline's son. He and I are friends."
She lifted a shoulder again.
"He's a nice kid. Lucky, too, to have a mom like Caroline after all he's been through."
Winters stiffened. "What's he been through?" Evie drained her mug.
"He had one son of a bitch of a father. Worse than mine was."
Winters dug his fingers into his thigh.
How so?
She plopped her chin on her fist and missed. She tried it again with a little more success.
Mostly he hates his dad for hitting his mom. The bastard apparently left some pretty bad scars Caroline doesn't let anyone see. He really hates him. In fact, he once told me he used to wish somebody would just kill his dad and be done with it.
She leaned closer, whispering loudly.
His dad is a cop somewhere. I'm not supposed to know that.
She sat up, her hand over her mouth, eyes registering the amazement only the truly drunk can pull off.
I wasn't supposed to say that.
Winters made himself smile.
Don't worry, your secret's safe with me. Inside, he cursed Mary Grace viciously.
She'd poisoned his son to the point Robbie hated him, wished he was dead. She'd paid dearly for that.
He mentally scrambled. If Robbie hated him, the boy might not come with him voluntarily. He considered the size of the suit and shoes he'd seen in Robbie's closet. Forcing his son to come might not be that easy. He could do it, but the boy would make a scene and come running back to his slut of a mother as soon as he could. He'd have to slice those apron strings once and for all.
So, where's your friend now? Maybe he can help you smooth it over with his mother.
Maybe when he gets back. He went camping.
She wrinkled her nose.
In tents.
Winters pasted on a smile.
Guy stuff.
Yeah. But he should be back by Wednesday or Thursday. Hopefully I will have worked it out with Caroline before he gets back. Tom won't be happy about me hitting his mother either.
Wednesday? He asked, the latter part of her statement whizzing right on by.
His mother lets him out of school to go camping? What kind of a mother is she, anyway?
Evie shrugged again, tears filling her eyes.
The kind I always wished I had. He's on spring break. She wouldn't let him go until he brought his math grade up. She's the best mom I've ever known. And the best friend.
The tears streamed down her cheeks.
I can't believe I turned on her that way, Mike. I can't believe I actually thought Max was interested in me. Men hate me. God, I wish I could just die.
Winters kept his smile in place with a great deal of effort. He patted her hand.
You're a pretty girl. You'll find another guy real soon.
She sniffled.
You think I'm pretty?
Five beers made her gullible. Another few would make her putty in his hands. She wasn't so bad-looking after all, and he might need her to help change Robbie's mind. He signaled the waitress.
Another round, please.
Chicago, Friday, March 16th, 11 p.m.
Stay,
Max whispered, pulling her closer, feeling her wriggle her round butt against his groin. The brief stirring in his loins calmed almost as soon as it began. He was completely sated, happier than he'd been in his entire life. She was here, in his bed, her head on his pillow, her scent teasing his nose every time she moved. They'd climbed the stairs together after that earth-shaking experience on his sofa, feeling their way in the dark, stumbling into his bed. And they'd made love all over again. Unbelievably, the second time had been even more remarkable than the first. He pushed himself up on his elbow and stared down at her profile, faintly visible in the light that spilled in from the hallway. Her eyes were closed, but her lips smiled. He brushed his lips against her temple.
Stay with me tonight,
he said again, and she sighed.
Okay.
His heart settled down as he sunk back down into his pillows, his arms around her waist.
I love you, Caroline.
Her voice was sleepy, utterly sexy.
Love you, too.
He'd thought her asleep when she abruptly rolled over onto her back.
Max?
He opened one eye. What?
You promised Frank you'd do that basketball workshop with him tomorrow.
damn. He'd had such fantasies of spending the entire day in bed with her. I'd forgotten all about it. Lucky for me, I have my very own appointment calendar. He kissed the tip of her nose.
Since you tend not to read your calendar, it's lucky for you this one talks,
Caroline replied tartly, but her lips still smiled. Max chuckled. Lucky for me, she does a hell of a lot more than talk. 3, 2, 1. Her cheeks went rosy right on cue. Come with me. The workshop's only supposed to last 2 hours.
I don't have any clothes.
He grinned. You have my shirt. And she wore it buttoned up to her throat. She'd pulled it on before climbing the stairs, and he'd let her do it, intending to undermine her rather puritanical modesty at the first possible opportunity. He wanted her naked in his bed. Deliberately, he pulled at the buttons at her throat, revealing her pale skin. He ran his finger down her throat, then slipped his hand inside the shirt and covered her breast. What more could you possibly want? She raised a brow.
Pants and underwear?
Highly overrated. Covers all the important stuff. She tugged on a lock of his hair.
Will you take me back to my place tomorrow morning? I can change my clothes and make you breakfast before we meet Frank.
Done. He kissed the tip of her nose, so happy he could barely contain it. Sleep now. Chapter 17. Charlotte, North Carolina, Saturday, March 17th, 8 a.m. Stephen extended his badge to the middle-aged woman who stood clutching the lapels of her bathrobe, a frightened look on her face. Excuse me.